You're listening to one in a series of podcasts from the 2009 High Ed Web Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
All right. Hello, my name's Ken Newquist. I'm a web application specialist at Lafayette College, and this is my colleague, Jason Alley.
Instructional technologist, so I kind of feel like I don't belong in this room, but thank you for allowing me to be here.
We work together quite a lot on a number of different web projects. I end up usually doing the back-end stuff. He usually ends up doing the front-end CSS stuff. And we're not going to be getting into a lot of code and stuff. I know propeller hats are required here, but what we are going to be trying to talk about is things that will save you time. So that if you're a web developer or if you are a graphic designer, the things we're going to be talking about as far as usability is saving you time so you don't have to do the job over again. So here's our problem. It was time to redesign the ITS website, which is our information technology services website. And we got a little committee together, right? And I think that this process is probably applicable to everyone's college and anyone who's ever worked on a web project with a committee, okay? So everybody on that committee has opinions about how the site should go. They have opinions on what works on the site and what doesn't work on the site, and they are really, really opinionated about what doesn't work. And they are willing to live and die by what they think is wrong with the site. But the thing they don't have is data. You know, they say, well, you know, the users will never think to do this, or I know that the users do that. But that's just a hunch. They've never actually sat down and run them through a test. So what our goal was is to replace opinions with facts. Find out what we don't know yet and discover what discovers what the users do, not what we think they do. And my grandfather was a carpenter, and he had a great rule of thumb, and I think this is great for anybody who's worked on any woodworking project. It's measure twice and cut once, right? And the whole idea being it's a heck of a lot easier to make sure you got it right the first time than having to go back and do it over and over again. So with that in mind, and because we know that if we don't keep you engaged, you will jump on Twitter and then all will be lost. I need a guinea pig.
We're going to do usability testing
on our website right now.
All right, come on up. We are using a software called ScreenFlow to capture. Are you hearing me okay? Okay. To capture what you're going to do online here.
So I want to preface this by a little bit. I want to get back to the committee for a sec while Jason's getting set up with this. One of the really cool things we did on this committee, and when we first started with the committee, Jason and I, because we were kind of like the lead guys who were doing stuff on the website, it kind of became the Jason and Ken show. People felt like they didn't necessarily have an opinion, like they weren't having an impact on the site, because we would come up and we'd say, well, this is what we think you should do. And then they would say, well, you know, we would get in disagreements or whatever. And in any case, it felt like we were kind of driving things. So what we did is we took two of the people who complained the most, but in a good way, right? And we asked them to do the user testing. So the folks who were the most opinionated and who had like the most ingrained ideas about what the site might do, we asked them to actually go and do the user testing. And the most awesome thing about this is that they changed their minds.
Okay, so are we ready to get started?
I think we are.
Okay. What is your name?
I'm Steve.
Steve, hey, I'm Jason. Nice to meet you. Okay, Steve, I'm not going to go through the whole spiel here, but essentially we'll start off with asking, are you okay with us recording you and using this for purposes down the road? Great. Okay, so that's a question we might ask someone. Steve, could you answer for me your overall comfort for using computer software? On a scale of 1 to 5, sorry. 5 being the most comfortable. Okay, great. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to do a task for us on our ITS website. And the task that I'd like you to complete is you want to edit a video and would like to use iMovie. Which labs on campus have it installed? Please, while you're walking through this, talk through how what you're thinking.
So I'd probably click on software. And lab software looks like a good bet. And was it iMovie I'm looking for?
iMovie is what you're looking for. What did you just do, Steve?
I used the browser's built-in find utility.
can you tell me what lab
is? Looks like it's in Skillman.
Okay, great. You completed the test. That's it.
We'd like one more volunteer. We'll go through one more question just to have one more quick demo. Come on, one hand, be brave. Come on. All right, come on up. Thanks. What is your name? Stephanie. Stephanie from
Noel Levitz.
All right, come on, have a seat.
Here.
Yep. And we'll just continue recording. Stephanie, I'm going to ask you a similar question. Again, talking through what it is you're doing as you're walking through this. So let me get to my question. The question that I'd like you to answer for us, and we'll start you back on the home page, so we're starting from the same point. Is access to the wireless network available on the second floor of Markle? Markle was a building at Lafayette College. And could you kindly hold this microphone while you're...
Sure. I think I'll start with facilities. You named a building is
yes.
Wireless access. So I'll click on facilities. Labs. Oh, wireless. And there's Markle. So on the first floor.
Actually, I asked you if it was on the second floor.
On the second floor of Markle. I'm sorry.
What is the answer?
It's no.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. You're great.
We were not testing you. We were testing the website, which is very important because people get really stressed when you put them in a testing environment. One of the things we do when we start out is to say, look, this isn't about you. This isn't about how well you surf the web. This is all about us and about, well, more specifically, it's about the website. You're not going to hurt our feelings if you do a bad job. You're not going to... Well, if the website does a bad job. And we really try and be positive with regards to that. So we actually did a couple of different forms of testing to try and gather data. Let me back up a little bit so we can see the screen here. We did a campus-wide survey, which we started off. We kicked things off before we even got into the usability testing with a campus-wide survey, just asking people what they thought of the ITS site, if they used it, that sort of thing. We had 10 usability-oriented questions, and obviously this is all very subjective. All of this was to try and get us an idea as to how people might be using the site. And then we had two questions at the end of the survey that said, hey, would you like to volunteer? And that was crucial because I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head. I think it was about 40 people responded and said, yeah, we'd love to be able to help you. So then when the question gets raised, well, how do you find people to volunteer to do this usability testing? Well, that's how we found them. So we used a tool that we have at Lafayette called Opinio, which is just a web-based survey tool. And we offered as an incentive 10 $5 coffee cards for the coffee cafe that we have in Skillman Library. So... some of the questions were, you know, what do you use the website for? How easy is it for you to find specific things on the site? Do you search or do you browse or do you do both? And then the last question, do you want to help? So here's the cool thing. We have, help me here, Jason, how many people do we have on campus?
About 2,300 students.
We got 319 responses to our survey, which was really good. I mean, they were flying in the first, 2 days. And then we did a follow-up. I think we did a follow-up link a week later, right? Did we do the second survey?
No, we never...
This was just the initial survey,
we never
right?
sent a second message out.
So this was all probably within the first week that the survey went out. Now, this isn't actually unique. When we did a similar survey about 4 years earlier, we also got 200-something responses. So we were just astounded that this many people responded to us. People really like to give us feedback. That having been said, 80% said that they use the site occasionally to rarely. When they did use the site, they were using it to access network services and to download software, which weren't things that we were necessarily thinking were going to be high priorities when people were visiting the site. And this also helped us when we were trying to determine exactly what we needed to test when we were doing usability testing, which is why we did the survey. So anyway, yeah, obviously people didn't use it as much as we wanted to. A lot of people were using it as a services portal. So by way of example, one of the ways that people knew to get to Banner Self-Service on campus was through the ITS site. They didn't know how to get to it any other way. So we needed to make sure that we didn't lose that when we redesigned the site. 40% of the people who responded to us said they didn't use search, which this kind of goes against some conventional wisdom with some of the folks we've talked to on our committee, who they just assumed everybody would search. Well, I search. Doesn't everybody search? Well, the answer is no. And then, again, people want help. So when we did our usability testing, we broke it up into a couple of different tasks. We had five common tasks, and what that means is that everybody whom we do the test with has the same task they need to accomplish. Then we had five specific to faculty and staff, and then five that were specific to students. The setup, well, you can see our setup. We had an iMac, which has a built-in camera, right? And then we used ScreenFlow, which is a really great software for capturing on-screen video, and we can show that off to folks later if you'd like. It costs about $100, and we had two people who would administer the test. So we'd have a proctor who was actually asking all the questions, and then we'd have a recorder or secretary sitting next to him or her and actually writing down the responses, so we had a written record of what was happening. So example tasks were, how do you register your gaming system on campus? Obviously, that was more of a student question. How do you know, you want to know how your guest can connect to her computer to the Lafayette network, which turned out to be probably one of the worst usability tasks on our entire test. And how do you register for a technology workshop? So they're all pretty straightforward things. And what we learned. Okay, so again, many don't search. Those who do search was working pretty well as long as they were putting in the right terms. We had some people who were just using terms that we didn't think of as far as key matches go. And this is one of those things that you say, well, yes, of course, it's obvious. Dense pages are hard to scan. We had, and we'll actually show an example of this in a minute, we would have pages with text on it, and the answer would be on the page, but it was buried in the middle of the page that was like about yay long.
Their cursor would literally go right over the link as they were scanning the page. And
to which all of us say, well, of course, you shouldn't have long pages. But I challenge you to go back and look at your policy pages on your ITS websites and see how good they are.
Those aren't meant to be read.
The category pages on our site, which we didn't get a chance to show off because nobody actually went to them, are difficult to browse. They were big lists with teaser text, and people were expecting to have some organization there, and there was no organization there. It was just organized by how recently they'd been posted. And getting to the page was half the battle. It looks like we kind of had ringers in here because they actually found the stuff pretty quickly. Others did not. So for them, you know, clicking around was really a challenge.
Well, in the page that, remind me of your name again? Steve. He found which lab iMovie was in. We know that page is not the most elegant page, but it's functional, and people could quickly find that iMovie was in Skillman. Though that was one of the pages a lot of people would like to have reworked. But people getting to it was the hard part. Once you got to it, you could figure out the answer rather quickly.
So when we're redesigning the site, and we're still working on that, you know, where do you put your efforts? Do you put it into the page that's mostly working, or do you focus on the fact that no one could figure out how to actually get a guest onto our network? Aside from the student who said, well, I just signed him on with my ID. Yes, grown. We also did an open card sort. We're still actually analyzing the data from this. We had 29. So the idea of an open card sort is that we had 29 index cards. Each of them was numbered. We basically gave the cards to the people and said, here, tell us what categories these should be in. The idea behind this, actually, you can go to the next. So we had 16 volunteers, both from within the department and I think from the volunteer list. One of the cool things about the card sort was to demonstrate to people that people think differently, which, again, these are obvious things, right? I mean, if you think about it rationally and you kind of take a step back, everyone goes, yes, well, of course people think differently. Except that when you're sitting down and, you know, you're watching someone do this, and then they go, well, I would never have thought to put wireless under facilities because that's a service for me, so it should have been under services. Or I want to know about how to attend a workshop. Well, clearly that should be under help. Well, not necessarily, right? So the things that it was able to demonstrate was, especially to the people on the committee, that what they thought the category should be isn't necessarily what our users thought the categories were going to be. It was useful for helping to identify trends, so we could start to see where people were aggregating things. We have a category, we have a tab on our website called Web Services. And the reason why we have something there called Web Services, it's a link to a bunch of web services, is because we went and did the card sort. People kept putting the same things into a pile. They didn't really know what they should call that pile, but they were all related to the web in some way. So we ended up calling it Web Services because no one could come up with a better name for it. But the point was is that everybody who did the card sort ended up putting the same things into that pile, so it gave us an idea of what to do. And then the last thing is it was great to be able to do all the testing, and this didn't take us long to do. I mean, this was mostly having people come in. The test themselves took about a half an hour. Analyzing the data was really what has taken the most time, because sitting down and looking over those videos. When you have 10 people who do usability tests, and each one of those tests takes between 30 and 60 minutes, you know, that's a day just to go through and review the video. So,
you're saying your usability test is 30 minutes long?
Depending on how. We had 10 questions. Okay. Each task takes about 2 to 3 minutes. So, all told, I mean, it depends entirely on the user. Some people were able to blow through it in 20 minutes. Some people, it took 30 minutes. We also did usability testing for Moodle. I have a part of a group called Clamp, which is a collaborative Moodle development project. And one of the projects that we had was doing testing on Moodle. And for that took a similar number of questions, but that one could take up to an hour. So, but anyway.
Okay, so we're going to show you a clip of one of our usability tests that Steve and Stephanie had done, except it's not you two, it's someone from on campus. And the task that was asked of her, well, it's actually in the video, so I'll go ahead and roll the clip, and it takes about just under a minute.
What happened to the video?
Look at that. Is it on the desktop? All right, well, we'll look at it the old-fashioned way.
There really is audio.
Microsoft Office is on your home computer.
All right, I'll try once more here.
Technology. So what we've asked her to do is actually find the home licensing agreement for Microsoft Office. So can you actually have Microsoft Office at home? So what she did is she went to the licensed software page, and now she's clicking around and she's trying to find the right answer. She starts. Yeah. The reason why he chose her, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So she does this for about 6 minutes.
And then she finally does a search. She did another search before that didn't give her the result she wanted. So, and she ends up finding it here pretty shortly.
Right, so this is Microsoft Home installation.
Okay.
Now, but here's the thing. If you want to advance it just a little bit there, Jason.
Where do you want me to go to?
I want to go to the page when she clicks through the licensed software. So, okay, so it's hard to see in this. We might actually want to switch to the actual page. This block of text is actually a paragraph. And this is a pretty short page, right? This is a block of text that explains the Microsoft Home Office policy. It's a blurb that actually it states exactly what she needs to know, and she completely missed it. This is a hyperlink that will take her to the place where she can go and actually, I think it's fill out the request to get the software, right?
No, it takes it to another page.
It takes it to another page that explains it in more depth. But
in any case, some policy on it.
I mean, this is three paragraphs, right? I mean, this is a short page. Clearly, that's a problem.
Do you have
a
question?
No, that's okay. We tried to keep this short so that we would have time to ask.
Do you have a sense that it's a combination of paragraphs versus a list that causes that trouble?
I think so. I mean, I think if it were a bulleted list, it would have worked. Oh, you mean having the bulleted list at the bottom?
No, just no list.
I think they would have just gone glaze over and then clicked on one of the navigation links. Now, I will say that the secondary navigation link turned out to be used more often than I honestly expected it to. But I think the bulleted list does throw them off because I think they have a tendency to skip to the bullets.
All right. We're going to skip our second example, too, because the audio is just not.
Right. And she has this great quote that we say, okay, can you find this particular, although her facial expressions are priceless.
They are. But,
I think.
Exploiting our coworkers.
Well, no, I mean, it's picture speaks a thousand words here. So just watch. And why do I want to do the video capture? You know, why do I want to see what she's doing? This is. And I guarantee your users are doing the same thing, right?
She's saying right now, when I come to this site, I just find I end up getting lost clicking in all the tabs, and I can't find anything. So she finally does begin the task, but literally with that expression. So she's not very happy about it.
So I just want to kind of talk briefly about what the value here for Jason and I has been. I think as developers, we have all had experiences where we have worked on a project, we've completed a project, we've delivered the project has gone live, and then our users say, hey, you know what, this didn't work. You then have to refactor your code, or you have to write new code, or you have to go back and, you know, gut the whole thing, and now you're kind of back to where you were started from. So I know an argument that comes up is, I don't have time for usability testing. And I think that the thing is that, you know, especially depending on the project, you may not have time not to do it. Because you can find the answers to some of these solutions ahead of time. And the big thing is, there's a book that Jason and I both like by Steve Krug called Don't Make Me Think. And I know that not everybody agrees with Steve, but I think he has a good point in that some data is better than no data. Even if you only take two people, pull in some of your coworkers and say, try and find this, or try and use this form, you're going to learn a lot of stuff. Now, another thing that kind of came up, I was talking about trying to find guest access. And this is just kind of a little story about how things have evolved at Lafayette. We have a password reset utility. It's something that our network services group created, and it's found at password.lafayette.edu, so you can go and you can reset your password through this thing. Cool little utility. You can also set up your challenge response there. It's another little thing that got added onto it. Okay, cool. Now we have another thing. Well, it's all dealing with password management, right? So now that utility also allows you to have a guest so that you can use that utility to request a guest because, right, you're setting up an account and password. See how the logic is flowing on this? Except that our users don't think like that. When we did the usability test, they had no idea how to get to the password.lafayette.edu page because, well, that page didn't really talk about guest accounts and stuff like that. So as we redesign the site, we really need to think about how to improve that. So we just wanted to briefly address kind of some of the things that can hold you back, and I think have held us back too, until we just kind of powered through it. One is that you don't have the time, which, you know, it's like anything, right? If you value it enough, you can find the time. We don't have the money, which I think we can all deal with right now. I think depending on what the hardware is you have around, you probably do have enough to be able to do it. We don't have the space, and we haven't done this before. Getting ahead of myself. Yes. So if you have a laptop with a camera and $50 to $100, you can do this. That's on the Mac. There's another program called Silverback, which is a really nice tool. It doesn't give you a lot of options with regards to capture, but it's cheap. ScreenFlow is very nice. It allows you to really pretty up your usability test because you can have it do the little radar effect whenever somebody clicks on something. You can have it display what they typed when they did the test. On Windows, the best software we found was Camtasia Studio, and that will run you about $300. But net, we're not talking about a huge amount of money. You don't need a dedicated lab. I think this is a big deal. All you need is a quiet space. If you can get a conference room or if you can get a classroom or whatever,
apparently
and throw a
laptop you can do
it
in front of 100 people too.
Yes, you can do that too. and there's a first time for everything. But here's the thing. The testing takes time to do. I don't want to underestimate that. I don't think it takes a huge amount of time, and it probably takes a lot less time than you think it does. Analysis really does take a lot longer. So Jason and I had to carve out some time to really work on this. And it takes much, much longer, because when we originally pitched this, we wanted to be able to show you the finished version as well. But as always, we got sidetracked by other projects, and we're still working on the redesign. But I think the most useful thing for us is we now have this data, so that when we're having meetings and we're talking with people who have very strident opinions about this, we can go back to the videotape, as it were, and show them, you know, we can say, okay, well, you know, let's look at how that task went. The other thing that I would recommend is, well, depending on your boss, do usability testing with your boss. If your boss doesn't see the value of you taking the time to do usability testing, have him or her sit down and try and find some stuff on your website that is outside of their normal purview. Like, for example, one of our bosses, he always surfed the site for policies, so he could always find what he wanted because he always had to find policies. Once we had to start doing these tasks, he started to realize that things were perhaps more difficult. Questions?
When you're going through those videos that take so long to analyze, what are you looking for?
Well, I think there's a couple things that we were doing, and I think the big lesson we learned with the video is that we had recorded how long each task took, but what we didn't note is when each task took place, so we didn't timestamp them, which made it more difficult to go back and figure out, you know, okay, I want to compare each of these people how they did that particular task. So partly it was just figuring out where people had done a particular task. The other thing was what we would do is we would just sit there and we would watch and we would stop the tape and see what they were actually doing. You know, well, wait a minute, what did she search on there? You know, or what did she click through? And then we would pause and kind of riff a little bit on what we were seeing. You know, okay, so how can we fold this into our design? How, you know, what things should we be thinking about? And I think it has given rise to things like, well, should we replace the homepage with a big search button? If we do, we'll test it to see if it actually works.
Something else is we can corroborate our data against people say they do things in one way, but they may not actually do the things that they say. So when we're collecting, you know, we had 320 responses from the web survey. They say they search, but do they really search? So it's a way to compare, are you really doing what you're... Now, I understand that that's not complete apples to apples in a comparison, but it can give us a sense.
Yeah, I mean, we can say, like, we can go back into our Google Analytics, and we've compared, you know, what people reported they use with what's actually in Google Analytics, and it matches up fairly well, but we haven't gone through and tried to trace the paths through the sites for particular resources. But having been to the Google Analytics session, I will certainly be doing more of that. I mean, the nice thing is we have a bunch of different data that we can pull together to compare to try and answer these particular questions, so... and the other nice thing was, I mean, we're in IT. We're not actually in PR, so we don't control the main Lafayette website. But by doing this, we kind of inspired the folks in public relations to do the same thing with their website. So it's a nice little meme that's spreading.
I'll just keep talking. So when we were redoing the RIT website at Duke, one of the things, through some usability testing, they found that the help desk was additive that we needed breadcrumbs. There are a number of reasons for anything where we were avoiding breadcrumbs. And they said the reason we need breadcrumbs is because when we go in and we get a call, we can then walk people to where the answer is on the site and then educate them on that. And that made perfect sense. And so the group that was heading up usability testing kept coming back that we have to have these. The help desk are the biggest users of the site. We have to have them. Now what we found was because of the nature of the site design before, that's how they learned to use the site. Once we made the site a different way and showed them how to navigate through, they actually can get to things in an easier fashion. So part of my question is, how do you take chunks of information and properly analyze them to actually find out what the real answer is?
Yeah, I think we do science. So I think, we come up with a hypothesis and then we test it. So I think the answer to that is, I mean, that's what we're going to be talking about doing. So one of the things that Sirius proposal was, let's make that search really big on and prominent on the homepage. If we do that, will they use it more? I don't know, but I don't think we're going to redesign our page and then find out. I think we're going to try it and then test. Right, I remember. Right, but now they just relaunched the new. Right. But I mean, I think the thing is, I was able to go to my boss was seriously proposing, let's get rid of all the content on the homepage, just replace it with a big old search box. He just searches.
What website did we just come from, too, after? It was Duke.
But yes. but in any case, you know, we were able to point to the surveys where we had people self-reporting that 40% of them were using search. And then in our own tests, I mean, if we go through all the videos, you can see, I would say a majority of them were primarily browsing and not searching. Now, there is, you know, it is possible to prejudice these effects. You know, are the very fact that we're having them sit down in front of a computer, are they still browsing the way they normally would? It's kind of an artificial environment. You know, we're not sneaking around people's offices, videotaping them on the sly.
Well, and some people would actually say, oh, I would just search and find it. Well, then do that. Because they were compelled to feel like, oh, well, you're testing the way in which I'm supposed to surf the site. And so the test is affecting the test.
Did you ever think about shortening your test time? I mean, I know you have certain people that normally sit on one site.
Right. I mean, I think for the follow-ups, I think we're going to be wanting to test specific things. And this was the first big batch of usability testing that we had done. So we wanted to try and start off.
So about your tasks, when someone ends a task, do you tell them, like they kind of are thinking, did I get the right answer? Do you tell them, yes, this is right, or no, this, you know?
We usually save that until the end.
Okay.
So then we can review what the right answers were. We also always have one impossible task that they are going to fail at because we want to see how they deal with frustration. The Kibashi and Maru scenario, right?
The next text, you take them back to the home page, or
they just keep going. One of the things that we found, and when we did when Clamp did their testing with Moodle, instructional technologists like to help people, and they had a really hard time not helping people during the test. And that was one of those things where you're trying to reiterate the task, you're trying to encourage them, but you're not trying to help them. And it was really hard for some of the instructional technologists when we were doing Moodle to be able to restrain themselves like that. And we had some people who did the survey who said, we just couldn't do that. I couldn't let my faculty suffer like that. I needed to actually give them the right answer. We did have, I mean, some of the stuff that you don't see in here, but we had some people who would say, well, I would just call the help desk, which is good to know when people would just not even try and do it. We also had things like, we had a scenario, one of the scenarios was, your computer's broken, you need help, where do you go? And the answer was, well, if my computer's broken, I'm just going to call the help desk. Not, well, I'll stop by the library and browse there. Other things, yeah, sorry. Our help desk is off-site, but I think we should definitely do that. That would be... That would be cool. Yeah, now one of the things we did do, speaking about the help desk, is for more data points, we went back through the help desk tickets to look at tickets that came in to see if we could identify particular patterns about, I mean, nothing really leapt out at us. It's a lot of data to analyze, but I definitely, you know, any large selections of data you have, it's good to look at. We haven't done that, but I will say that after we did this, there was, and we didn't actually end up doing it, but there was a lot of discussion when the Office 2007, 2008 rollout came about, about, well, our users will just know, or our users, you know, are going to be completely confused. And again, it comes back to, like, opinions, right? I don't know. I mean, I know I found certain things confusing, but I don't know what our users would find confusing. So we did certainly think about doing that. I think it would be worthwhile. I mean, I think sometimes it's easy to get hang up on, this isn't a scientific study, right? I'm not doing 1,000 tests to gather data. But I still think it's useful enough to be able to see how people really use the tools.
I guess what I meant is that how would you describe it differently? You, presumably you know your website.
Right.
You might not know Microsoft Word. So how would you approach it?
I think I'd find someone who knew it and then have them conduct the tasks for me. I mean, honestly, I mean, if... Or, you know, I mean, if I'm evaluating vendor software, I'm buying that software for a particular use. So test the use. So if, you know, if it's an event scheduling software, have them schedule the event. If they can't schedule the event, then that's probably not a good software to buy, right? Other questions?
Can you use anything like user fly or software to like
No, we haven't done that. I've seen them. I think we would need to do full disclosure on our site. We already have a disclosure for our analytics, but I think we haven't talked about it. I've seen it. It would be interesting, but no, we haven't tried that.
When you present a Mac solution to students, are they comfortable with it? Or like I'm on a campus predominantly PC, so.
I think actually we do, if I remember correctly, we dual booted, right?
Yes.
So we have
no.
Kids.
No, we did it because we wanted everything in ScreenFlow.
Oh.
So it had to run off the Mac.
We did in the Moodle testing. I think we did both because we had Camtasia Studio installed on the Windows side and on the PC side. I mean, I think it's on the Windows side and the Mac side. I mean, I think it could prejudice their results. I would rather use the tools that they're more comfortable with. There were some arguments when we did this with when we did this with Clamp. There were some people who said, you know what, I have to go to my faculty's office to do it. It's not going to be a good test unless I'm in their office on their computer doing the test.
Well, and something like Moodle, though, is so specific to uploading files and having access to those kinds of things.
Other questions? Well, I guess that's it. Thank you very much.